in your life is going to be when we stand together with multitudes around the throne of God. And you believe it now. Everybody that believes it now said amen. But like Paul, we see through a glass darkly. I mean, we believe it, but we can't understand it. When that trumpet sounds, and when the shout of God breaks forth, the dead in Christ are going to rise up. Every one of us that's still alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and John saw it. He said they were from every nation, every language, every people group. He said they represented the tapestry of humanity from all time and from all nations. Praise God. Praise God. And I think church is obviously a lot of things, but I think church is most like the glimpse of that moment. Tonight, as you're praising and you're dancing and you're shouting, there's a lot of people that just don't understand it, but we don't. They don't understand the collection or the gathering of God's people out of the earth. My God, just close your eyes for a minute and just hear the roar. If you've ever been in a great stadium in a moment of triumph, you've heard just a tiny sliver of the roar of that place around the throne. And it's all going to be directed toward the throne and the one that sits upon it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I know you've got a lot of desires and a punch list and a wish list and plans for life. But is there anybody in the house that has made a plan that you're going to be there? Praise God. The old song says, I'll see you just inside the eastern gate. But you need to touch somebody and say, I'll see you around the throne of God. I can't tell you what tomorrow's going to be like. I can't tell you who's going to stay and who's going to go. But Brother Travis, if I don't see you, I'll see you around the throne. We'll shout again. I won't have any trouble finding you. I'm kind of short, but I'll see that hand. I'll be able to find you. Praise God. Thank God. Well, that can ride off in all directions, and we got a little work to do here tonight. Doesn't it feel good in the Lord's house tonight? Praise God. Chapter 46 in Isaiah. We're continuing in Isaiah. And we're still in that area between the 40s and maybe we'll touch a little on the 50s tonight. And we're not going to do every nook and cranny of any of these books, but we're going to give it a good shot and a thorough going over. We're going to pick it up and shake it and see what comes out. And in these overviews, you happen upon things that you've never seen before. That's why daily study of the Word of God is a fascinating and wonderful journey for all of us who love the Word of God. Praise God. And it's a bore for a lot of other folks. Praise God. Isaiah 46 and beginning in verse 8. And this is God talking through Isaiah. And would you say, remember this and show yourselves men. Now understand, for the ladies it's a little difficult, but he's just saying be courageous. Step up and take it like a man. And so it's just an axiomatic thing. He's just telling you be courageous. So it's gender neutral. All right. And say, bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God. There's none else. I'm God. And there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times. The things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. Perhaps reflecting on the feeding of the prophet. Perhaps likening the avenging armies of Israel's oppressors to a ravenous bird. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. Say, I have purposed it. I will also do it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what God has purposed. He will do. His counsel shall stand. He will do all of his pleasure. He said, hearken unto me. Verse 12, ye stout-hearted and that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Praise God. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands, lift our voices, and magnify God in the house for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you, Lord God. We give you all the glory and the honor for your word. Thank you for the privilege of handling in the house tonight. God makes a declaration here, and God declares that he is God. Nobody is like him. And again, he's reaffirming and he's reintroducing himself to Israel. And he's appealing to them in the middle of their idolatry to know that he is God. But something else is happening here. He is asserting the purpose and the inevitability of his word. His word is going to take place. None of his words will fall to the ground, is the biblical expression. None of them will return to him void, but they will accomplish that he has purposed it for. And you notice the language here, his pleasure, his counsel, his purpose. These things are going to happen. God has settled it. It's already been spoken. All of hell can stand up, but it can't stop the word of God. The kings can stand up. The kings of the earth can say no, but the word of God is going to bring itself to pass. Praise God. And so as we're dealing with Isaiah, we get this maelstrom of prophecy and teaching and warning. And God gives them signs and prophecies and promises. During the day of Isaiah, he's talking to them about the fact that he's coming down to take Israel into captivity. And Isaiah sees that day. It'll be 100 years past Isaiah's time when Judah goes into captivity in Babylon. And so he's dealing with things on the one hand that he prophesies and he literally sees the fulfillment of them. And then he sees and he's speaking things on the other hand that will occur after his natural life has expired. And he's also, especially here as we're getting toward the end of Isaiah, we begin to get glimpses and glimmers of the millennial reign. He begins to talk about things like the lion lying down with a lamb and the lion eating straw like an ox and a child or a sinner dying at 100 years of age. And we understand that longevity will be restored in the millennial and it'll begin to be a resurgence of things like the garden of Eden, and Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. And we get these glimpses in Isaiah and out of the mouth of this prophet 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah talks about the birth of Christ. He talks about the coming of God's Messiah. He deals with things present tense, things in medium range prophecy, and things far flung that have not yet come to pass in our day. And there is in this book of Isaiah a mix of signs and prophecies and promises. And it is in my humble experience and my very short experience in the kingdom of God, it has occurred to me, whether in the word of God or in the flowing of the rhema word, a word of prophecy, a word that is a sign, or a tongues and interpretation, that many times God will give you multiple words. He'll give you one to set you up. And when you see the first one come to pass, then you'll know that the second one is in the bag. Then you'll know. And if you're a student of the Word of God, you find that God gives signs. And he says, this will be a sign unto you. God wants you to have a sign because, like David, when you face your giant, it's good to know that you killed the lion and the bear. When you're about to walk through a valley, it's good to be able to look over your back trail and say, he's already brought me through some valleys. I know I'm going to make it through this one. When you're going through some trouble, it's good to be able to look back and know that God has given me some signs along the way. And I understand I may not know tomorrow, but I know what God has already done. And in my heart, I don't have any trepidation. I don't have a doubt. God's already done it. And he'll do it again. Somebody say he'll do it again. Shake your neighbor and say, God's already done it. And he'll do it again. Praise God. We came through Isaiah chapter 11. And although it's woven throughout the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 has one of the most powerful pronouncements about the return of Israel to the land. And this is so very, very awesome because he says it before Israel ever goes into captivity. And he prophesies that Israel will go into captivity twice, and that God will extend his hand the second time and gather Israel back from all the nations back to the land of Israel. Well, now we're living about 2,600 years after that pronouncement. And we see every day in the newspaper, it's been there since 1948, Israel is in the land. They came back in 48. They took half of Jerusalem in 66. They took all of Jerusalem in 74. In 82, they made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And today the Star of David flies over the place where Abram walked, and Isaac and Jacob and David and the kings and the prophets. And the word of God has come to pass. I want everybody that believes that Israel is in the land today to lift your hand and say, amen, I believe it. Now, if you don't know Israel's in the land, you're a sheltered individual. And you need to get out more often. Somebody needs to let you out. And you need to read a newspaper. And you need to look at prophecy and current events and see that they are merging at an alarming rate. Well, praise God. And if you've read from Ezekiel, you've seen a coalition of nations in the last days. And just casually, Ezekiel rips off the names of those nations. And he said, Russia and Iran will be together in that last day scenario. And it's amazing because there are many, many kingdoms and nations that have come and gone that don't even exist today. Or if they do, they're little third world countries that don't amount to anything today. But Russia and Iran are in league to build nuclear power plants in Iran, and maybe more than that. And they'd like to, in a nuclear sense, fuel the jihad. How exciting! How exciting that they're going to have nukes. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How many of you personally know that Russia and Iran, from what you've seen just in the news, you know Russia and Iran are doing business together? How many of you know that the Word of God already said that, and that God has brought it to pass? And for the sake of time, we're not reading a whole lot of scripture tonight. We're just going to talk about these things kind of in generalities. And you can read these scriptures yourself, or if you'd like, come to me, and I'll be happy to give you a little guided tour of what we're talking about. Praise God. Praise God. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, who lived before the captivity of Judah in Babylon, in chapter 44 of Isaiah and verse 28, Isaiah prophesies that Cyrus, who is one of the kings of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, that he will rebuild Jerusalem. Now, in Isaiah's day, the kingdom of Judah never goes into captivity. After his death, Babylon comes and takes them away. And nearing 60 years or 50 years in captivity, the Medes and the Persians come down and overrun Babylon. And they cause the river to run beneath the walls of mighty Babylon. And they stop the river. Instead of water, it's a river of army that comes beneath the walls. And Babylon is overthrown. And Darius and Cyrus are the kings of the Medes and the Persians. And during that time frame, Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel, after the 70 years of captivity, they go back and they rebuild the walls and the temple and the city of Jerusalem. How many of you know that that's true? Jesus stood in the rebuilt Jerusalem. Jesus preached in the rebuilt Jerusalem. And he told his disciples in Luke chapter 21. He said, "See all these things, brothers?" He said, "Not one stone will be left on another. Because this place is coming down again. Because I've already said it back 700 years ago in my prophet Isaiah. I've already said it. It's coming down again. But then in the latter days, I'm going to raise it up again. Israel's coming back to the land." Are you following this? Is this okay with you? You understand. Isaiah is dealing with a mix of sign and prophecy and promise. Because woven all through here, God is saying, "I'm going to bring Israel back. I'm going to take care of Judah. I'm not going to let you fall by the wayside. I'm going to fulfill my promises to you." And you can see, he doesn't say it overtly, but you can see these promises. Brother John's talking about handfuls on purpose, like in the book of Ruth. And it's just like that in these prophetic moments. God's dropping little handfuls on purpose for you. So you can pick it up and say, "My God, he's already done that. And if he's done that, I have another promise. And it makes me know that he's going to do the promise just like he fulfilled the prophecy." Woven through the book of Isaiah. And not only there, but woven through our lives. Woven through the destinies of our homes and families. And in this very moment we're in right now, there is this word of God that has come forth from ages past. He's spoken it from ancient times. And it's pulsing and flowing in this house tonight. And there's not an army in the world that can stop it. There's not a devil out of hell that can stop it. There's nothing that can change the course of this word. Inexorable, inevitable, it's going to take place. The promise that God has made to you is already in the bag. It's a promise that is assured by the signs of prophecy. If God's already done it, I want you to shake off the doubt. If God's already done these things in times past, I want you to stand and breathe the fresh air. The reality of God is that it doesn't matter what's rising up against you. And it doesn't matter the clamor and the voices in your mind. And it doesn't matter all the obstacles and impenetrable things and fortresses of things that stand between you and your goal and between you and the promise of God. You know going in, by looking back, that those things are going to come down. I know they're going to come down. How many of you believe that the walls came down around Jericho? How many of you believe that the Red Sea parted and they walked across on dry ground? How many of you believe that Jordan split at flood tide and they went into promise? My God, how many of you believe that Lazarus came forth on the third day? How many of you believe what the word of God? Do you believe he's already done what the word of God proclaims? Lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and tell him, "I know you got problems, but are your problems bigger than regathering an entire nation from all over the earth after 2,000 years? Are your problems greater than tearing down the walls of Jericho? Are your problems greater than parting the Red Sea and bringing a nation out of Egypt? Are your problems greater than the biblical sign and prophecy? My God. Anybody got a problem? Anybody got a need? Anybody got a promise? Anybody hoping the promise is for you? Hoping the promise will come true? Hoping the promise is real? Hoping you'll see the dawn of a brand new day and God will usher in what the Word of God has spoken? In this house tonight, there's a mix, a sign, and prophecy, and promise. Praise God. Praise God. Right now, I want you to lift up your hands in your voice, and I want you to begin to thank God specifically, not in generalities, but I want you to begin to specifically thank God for things that He's already done in your life and prophecies He's already brought to pass that you are personally aware of and promises that have exploded into your life. Things that He's already... I want you to begin to say those things. I thank you, God. I praise you, mighty God. No, open your mouth and say it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What He's already done is a sign and a motivation for us to lay hold to the promise of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In these passages in Isaiah, He says He's going to destroy Babylon. Guess what? He did. He says He's going to destroy Assyria. Guess what? He did. He says He's going to heal your body. Guess what? He said He's going to fill your need. Guess what? He said He's going to move the mountain. Guess what? No, you didn't even begin to hear that. That was a hot grounder, went right by you. Praise God. Let me show you something about God's attitude. Praise God. How many of you believe your sins are forgiven? How many of you believe Jesus rose from the dead? How many of you believe that He sits on the throne of heaven and that all that He said will come to pass? Do you really believe that? Praise God. I want you to give your neighbor a high five and tell him, based on my prior experience, I believe God's going to make a way. Turn to somebody else and shake them a little bit and say, based on what He's already done, I believe it's going to be all right. If you got to get up and walk now, I want you to touch a third person and tell them, God has done so many wonderful things. The thing that I need right now is so small. It won't be anything for God to do. How many of you remember Brother Booker and the currency of the kingdom? The coin of the kingdom. My God, you can't come to Him hoping, and you can't come to Him whining, and you can't come to Him telling Him about your need, but you can come to Him believing. I know you're going to do this, God, because your word says it. I know you're going to send an angel. I know you're going to pour out a blessing. I know you're going to lay your hand on this situation. I know your healing is going to move in my body. I know it. You've already done it. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me show you something about His attitude. Isaiah 50. And this is really getting into the messianic prophecies, or the prophecy about the Christ and His sacrifice. It builds from Isaiah 50 to Isaiah 53, which is the penultimate prophecy concerning His sacrifice on Calvary and the fact that He will bear your sins in His own body as the Lamb of God. Isaiah 50, and beginning with verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters. This is the Christ speaking from centuries before in his role as God of Israel. But he's prophesying as it is already accomplished. He's talking about it. You get it in past tense. It's already been done. He gave his back to the smiters. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. They pulled his, yanked his beard right out of his face. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. In another place he says, I set my face as a flint. I tell you, he saw Calvary from a long ways off. Before there ever was a creation, an Adam or an Eve or a Garden of Eden, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And he saw that cross a long ways off, and he was determined and he was purposed, and he brought it to pass, and he wove it through the prophecies and signs and promises. Verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Verse 8, he is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Who's going to stop this plan of mine? Will it be Rome? I'll make Rome a player. Will it be Israel? I'll cause them to stand in the courtyard of Pilate and cry, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And he weaves kingdoms and peoples and nations into his plan and into his word. Let us stand together. Now, this is so awesome to me. Let us stand together. And he says, who is my adversary? Let him come near unto me. He said, where is that bad boy that took down Adam in the garden? Come close to me. He said, where? Now, he looks like a skinny little Jew when he makes his way into human reality. But these words are still all over him and in him. Where is my adversary? Let him come near unto me. My God, have you ever just had something come over you and you just wanted to get real up close and personal with somebody? And you're not supposed to do that in the carnal. But you ought to feel that way about the devil. You ought to feel that way about the demonic prince of this city. You ought to feel that way about that thing that's touching your children or luring your young person or trying to mess up your house or trying to steal your salvation or trying to plant doubt in your mind. You ought to get yourself an attitude, and you need to come down to an altar and say, where is he? Let him come near unto me. Praise God. You know what Jesus did when he wanted to meet the devil? He went out into a place of solitude and prayer and fasting and said, where are you, devil? I'll find you out here, because you'll think I'm weak, but you don't understand. When I'm weak, he's strong. You don't understand. When I'm fasting, I'm bad news. You don't understand. When I'm praying, I'm unbeatable. Somebody say praise the Lord. Jesus said, where's my adversary? Bring him close. Now, he's not down here fighting for himself. He's down here fighting for your soul and for your promises. And he's down here on your behalf. And he says, where's my adversary? Let him come near unto me. God has an attitude about your situation and about that one that would stand between you and the promise of God. He's got an attitude. Bring him near me. Come, let me get close to him. Bring him into my presence. Bring him down to my altar. Come, let me cover it with my blood. Come, let me inundate it with my spirit. Come, let me shock it with my word. Where is my adversary? God's got an attitude about your dilemma. You need to bow up tonight, and you need to say, not only is God on my side, But God's got an attitude about this. God wants to do me good. God wants to see me break out. God wants to see me overcome. God wants to see me stand victoriously. God wants to see me triumph. God wants to see me lay claim to the promise of God. Clap your hands. Somebody shout about it a little bit. Somebody shout for the promise. Somebody shout for the promise. Somebody shout for the sign. My God. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you have the Holy Ghost and you talked in tongues? Turn to your neighbor and tell them that's prophecy fulfilled. The Bible said with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said this is the rest and refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but we heard. That's right. It's prophecy. Tell somebody, I got prophecy fulfilled in my life already. And tell them where that came from, there's more. What God's done already, he's going to do more of. What God's already done, he's going to do again. Signs and prophecies and promises all woven together. My God, you've already had one family member come in. Get ready for company. Some more are coming. You've already had one healing. Get ready. God's not finished. You've already had a blessing. Get ready. God's not empty. Oh, my God. How many of you think we're having revival right now? In the middle of revival right now. Some people live their whole life looking forward or looking backward, and they don't realize that these are the good old days. Right now is the very best time. Because it's the only time you really have. My God, you know what? This is a long way from the storefront. This is a long way from that little rickety white building where if I jump like this, I could just about make your head hit the ceiling. I'll be jumping and Kimberly would be jumping too. She wouldn't even know why. What's happening to me? But Brother Warren got the Holy Ghost in there. We baptized Brother Jimmy Green in there. A lot of you as little babies, you went down in the water in there and now you're adults in this place. We've already had a measure of revival, but guess what? God's not through. God's not empty. God's not finished, and God's got an attitude about it. Give somebody a high five and tell them this is revival, but tell them it ain't over. It ain't over. It's going to go, oh, my God, there's more of it where that came from. More Holy Ghost, more Word of God, more outpouring, more anointing. More gifts, more tongue talking. My God, shake somebody. I mean, shake them real good. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. God's got an attitude about your promise. God's got an attitude about bringing prophecy to pass in your life. God wants to do it, but it's not some passive, benign, empty thing with God. God said, that's my child. That's my baby. Those are my kids. That's my bride. I want to do this. You are the apple of his eye. No, the devil has told you that you're not, but you are the apple of his eye. The devil told you it's not going to happen, but it is. The devil told you God's not interested, but he is. The devil told you somebody else, but not you, but it's not true. No, I want you to get a hold of that right now. If God's going to do it in my life. If God's going to do it in this place. Help me. Tell your neighbor it's going to rain on me. Gifts and promises. No, some of you didn't do that because you don't believe it. Tell somebody it's going to rain gifts and promises on me. Show them your hands and tell them these hands are going to be used in the kingdom of God. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be scary. My God, the devil's going to have a bad time. Somebody shout yes. Somebody say yes. My God. If you want want to shout, go ahead and shout right now. Don't wait. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Trying to get on somebody. Somebody struggling and wrestling with doubt. Something trying to undermine your faith. Well, listen, that's his job. His job is to come and steal it from you. Your job is to just hold on. His job is to tell you it's not going to happen. Your job is to lay claim to it. I mean, devil's doing his job. He's got a job. That's why God made him. Because if everything just comes to you, you don't have to fight for it. You're not worth anything. You're going to be a spoiled brat. I'm going to lay claim to the promise of God. I'm going to lay claim to the prophecy in my life. I'm going to have it. Somebody that's here in doubt right now, just tell it. I'm going to have it. It's going to happen. It's real. It's real. It's real in my life. Praise God. I want everybody that's ever been healed by God to shout. Come on, somebody that needs healing. If God did it for somebody else, it's a sign and a prophecy, and there is a promise. I want somebody where God made a way where there just absolutely was no way. And you know it was God. I want you to shout about that a little bit. You hear it tonight. You're up against it. You don't see a way out. But there's a sign and a prophecy and a promise in this house tonight. It's all woven together. So you can look at the things that are, and the things that he's already done, and say, God's gonna do it again. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel faith just begin to flow in this house. You quit spending your time on the devil and the enemy and the problem, and would you just begin to glorify and focus on God and give God thanks? Would you do that? Can I tell you the devil's irrelevant? Your response is what matters. Praise God. Just two more things and we're going to quit. Isaiah 46 and 4. These folks were just bogged down with idols. So much that in verse 1, he said their carriages were heavy laden. And they were a burden to the weary beast. Verse 2, they stooped, they bowed down, but they could not deliver the burden. But themselves are gone into captivity. When Assyria and Babylon came down, they took all their gods away into captivity. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. Encumbered by so many things that can't help you. Troubled and burdened down by things that can't strengthen you. But hear the promise of God. 46 and 4. Even to your old age, I am he. And to your hoar hairs, it's like a hoar frost. Your white hairs are when you're very old. Will I carry you? I have made you. I will bear you. And I will carry and deliver you. How many of you know that he's already brought Israel back from the diaspora? I want somebody that's, you're needing some help in your life right now. I want you to just say, God, you promised you would carry me. I need you right now to slip those everlasting arms underneath me and lift my house and lift my family and lift my life. God, I know you're able. You've already done it for others. In this house tonight, there are signs and prophecies and promises. And God, I'm laying claim to the promise. I know you can do it because you're God and you're well able. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, when I can't make it on my own, he's going to carry me. When I'm out of gas and out of strength, out of options, God's going to carry me. My God, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I know there's a promise for you in this house. You don't have to get up in the morning weeping because you're out of possibilities. God is an endless source. And the devil's going to come and say, what if you can't make it another day? And you're going to say, I don't have to. God's going to carry me. If you believe he already carried your sins on his shoulder up the face of Golgotha, my God, he can carry you tonight. The song says if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know that he can carry you. Praise God. I felt these specific promises. I want to touch them before we go tonight. Isaiah 49. I'm talking right. I'm going to give you verbatim what you heard this week. Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 13. Sing, heavens. Be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing. There's never a reason not to sing. It's always rejoicing. He said, let the saints sing aloud upon their beds. I'm thinking he's talking about your sick bed and your deathbed. Praise God. O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. God's people were so beaten down. They said, we're so beaten down that God has forgotten us. He's forsaken us. They totally missed the point that God didn't forget them. He just rained all his judgment down on them. I'm telling you, if you belong to God, God never forgets you. Oh, somebody's already heard from the devil this week. He said, God forgot about you. He forgot about your need. He forgot about your prayer. He's forgotten about you. You're insignificant. You don't matter. You sinned so much and fooled around so long. God's not going to answer your prayer. You didn't come up to the standards of God, and so God's not going to minister to you. But you need to know what God has to say on the matter. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should have compassion, not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. A mama may forget her baby. We've lived long enough to see that. But I will not forget you. He said, behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hand. Zechariah 12 said when he returns at Armageddon to Jerusalem. There, God, I see a thumb up. Somebody's talking in tongues over here. sign right there. That's a prophecy right there. That's a promise right there. All woven into this evening in the house of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's graven me into the palms of his hands. Zechariah chapter 12 says, when he returns at Armageddon, and he talks in the first person as the Lord God of Israel, raging back to smite the armies that have gathered against Jerusalem, and speaking of his people, he said, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Again, he's centuries before the birth of Christ, but he's talking in past tense, an already accomplished fact. That's going to happen outside the walls of Jerusalem in a time not too far from where we're standing tonight. Chapter 13 of Zechariah and verse 6, and one shall say unto me, where did you get those wounds in your hands? And he's going to say, I got them in the house of my friends. Praise God. God's not going to forget you. He's got you written in the palm of his hand. Somebody in the house has gotten the news this week that it's all over for you. God's already forgotten you because you sinned too bad, you went too far, you fell too hard. And this time there's no bounce. You're just going to be stacking time, waiting on judgment. That's what the devil would have you think. But I've already seen what God has done. And all around me, I see the prophecies of God being fulfilled. I saw one tonight. This young man was filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say this. Just say that. God will never forget me. When I pray, he hears me. When I call, he knows me by name. When I seek him, I find him. When I lay claim to the promise, it's going to be realized in my life. Praise God. I want you to lift up your hands right now. This house tonight, your life has been filled with signs and prophecies. Your present is filled with signs and prophecies. It's pregnant with promise. He's already said it. This altar's open. If you'd like to come, just come. Somebody come lay claim to the promise. Somebody come to just tell God, I know you're going to do it. I don't know your time frame, but I know you're going to be right on time. I know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I know they'll mount up with wings as eagles. I know they'll run and not be weary, or walk and not faint. Come on down to this altar. To praise him for it. Somebody needs to worship him for it. Somebody just needs to lay claim to him. I already fought the lion and the bear. I've already seen the deliverance of God. I've already been healed once. I've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've already been redeemed. I know God.